All right, welcome back. Here we go. All right, this is an experiment here. we're gonna do a large Bible study. Give you an opportunity maybe to interact with a sermon, interact with the passage, and we'll see how this goes. So here's one question I see here on the chat feature. Question is: Saul was humbled and blinded for 3 days. I don't want to doubt the power of Christ. I was wondering if in those 3 days, Jesus gave Saul a glimpse into what Jesus faced through his death and thoughts. That's a wonderful question. I think that the heart of that is what else was going on during those 3 days. And I think one of the small points to make in as we look at Saul's conversion is it was a process. Right, his conversion was a process, and many of us, I can point to in my own life, maybe a particular high point that God used to move me from unbelief to belief, but that he was at work in my life quite a bit until I finally heard the gospel, until he finally warmed my heart. And I think with Saul here as well, it's a process. We tend to look at even Saul's story and to say, well that was it. He was converted there as soon as Jesus came and spoke to him, and it's but we see even here it's a process. Jesus appears to him, he gets his attention. Jesus then speaks to him. Jesus blinds him. Jesus humbles him. He remains there for 3 days. So at what point did Saul move from unbelief to belief? We're not necessarily told there, but yeah, what was going on in those 3 days? Could he have come to a fuller understanding of the humility of Christ? Certainly. How much did he understand in that particular time? Who knows? And I think a lot of us could point to that as well, that it's lessons I learned looking back, not necessarily the live lesson that I'm learning in that moment. Pastor Dafier said, what else was going on during those 3 days? Maybe he was hearing Stephen's sermon echoing through his mind. You remember Saul was involved in the murder of Stephen. Stephen preached the longest recorded sermon in Acts, and so Saul would have heard that. All right. How can we... Dave, why don't you read them to me? That'll be less, unless it's really long. Well, number three days. Oh, 3 days. Yeah. I mean, I think we frequently see that in Scripture. The question, I realize you may not have heard it, my thoughts on why it was 3 days. And I think that is a pattern that we see throughout Scripture of three being a perfect number, seven being a perfect number, 40 being a perfect number. Reminded that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. And is that significant? Sure, I think that's significant. It gives us a sense that, but that was, God could have done it in 3 minutes, but he took 3 days. I will just repeat back what he says, and I'm not even going to look at this anymore. It was just, yeah.
How can we learn to walk by faith in the midst of our current situation?
Yeah, that's a wonderful... Dave says repeat the question. The question was, how can we learn to walk by faith in the midst of our current situation? And I think that's a fantastic question. And I got to just speak for me. It's making sure that I'm putting number one truth in front of my eyes. Some of us have been maybe tuned into what's been going on longer than others, and we're all going to have different reactions. But we need to be putting truth, I think, before ourselves, reminding ourselves of what is true, reminding others of what is true. I think we need to be careful as well how we speak that truth to others. I think we need to be careful as Christians that we're not belittling or demeaning those who are who appear maybe to us to be in a panic or to be full of fear. We all respond to these situations differently, and maybe your neighbor to you seems seems to be and just an absolute panic or absolute fear. And we need to come alongside them with gentleness, work on our own heart first. But yeah, I think it absolutely begins with, you know, for me, it's I want to feel the rock, which is Jesus, standing beneath my feet. And this gives me an opportunity to see what I'm really trusting in. That's been an ongoing reflection to say, where is my confidence really? And I think that's hard work. It's going to take a long time, to work that out. But this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity.
I
have to go. I don't have my Bible in front of me. I suppose that's possible.
I've seen artwork with that, but I checked all three accounts and it doesn't ever mention the horse.
Yeah, again, I need to remember to repeat the question. The question was, could Saul have possibly been riding on an animal while he was going? That's certainly possible. The fact that he falls to his knees when he sees that great light. I guess you'd have to get off of the donkey or the horse or whatever you were riding on. Possible.
But he wasn't in
accord. But he's definitely, thank you, Tim Malone, he was not in one accord. We know that. He was
one horsepower
accord. That did not happen. You know, one bit of interesting Bible trivia here as well. It's interesting. I was careful as I was preaching that sermon to be consistent with using Saul. Sometimes you hear that God changed his name to Paul here at this conversion. And, you know, that's actually not the case. The name Saul is used, I think, something like 11 times after this conversion. So it kind of goes back and forth interchangeably. It's interesting when Ananias comes and prays for him. What's he say? It's brother Saul, not brother Paul. So Saul, I think, most likely had a couple different... Yeah, and Davis explaining the language difference, one being Aramaic and one being Paul being Greek, Saul being Aramaic. Is there anything else? The question is, what would you do if you woke up blind? Oh, I don't know. Let's pray that that does not happen, that we don't wake up blind. But I tell you, hey, let me use this as an opportunity to preach the gospel. If you woke up blind, at least you would know you're blind. There's an advantage that a physically blind person has versus a spiritually blind person, because a spiritually blind person, we wake up every morning, many of us, spiritually blind and don't realize it. We need something, not something, we need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit like Saul experienced here. And we should certainly see the analogy going on here. That's when Saul recovered his sight. It was physical sight, but let's not be fooled. It was spiritual sight as well. Yeah, interesting. Again, I don't think you're hearing the audio, but a comment that Ananias did get to see the big picture. God did tell him, "I'm going to use him as an instrument." But even that, Ananias didn't go in. That may have been a process. Was the point of the comment Saul could have still retaliated in that moment, that God was going to use him as an instrument, that at one point Saul was going to get to that point of brokenness. Ananias had no assurance going in, even knowing that God was at work, that Saul wouldn't kill him first. Yeah, good observation. Hey, this is kind of fun.
Heard the voice, and how God used them.
Is that just a generic So it was comment about how the men who were traveling with Saul heard the voice. And that's interesting. So if you go later today and look at Acts 22 and Acts 26 and try to put some of those pieces together, the story gets more and more fleshed out. And so later what we find out is those men who were there, here we're told they heard a voice, but we find out later that they couldn't make sense of that voice. And so for them, I think it was still just a very confusing experience. We know that they were left speechless, and I'm not sure if that's meant to be speechless, meaning physically unable to talk to themselves for a period of time, or just speechless in that moment. But they were aware that something happened. But again, as we look at, I think it's Acts 22, it might be Acts 26. They didn't even make sense of the voice that of Jesus' voice talking to Saul, which is kind of interesting. That's interesting too, as we think about the visions that Jesus had. For instance, at his baptism, who heard God the Father say, "You are my Son, whom I love." Who actually saw with their eyes the heavens being rent open? It's very curious. That multiple people could be in the same place, and Saul heard it. Saul saw it. Not everyone there did. Probably some spiritual lessons there.
Someone's asking how old Saul was.
Oh, how old is Saul? I have no idea. Because he was a student of Gamaliel, thinking is maybe he was younger. We think that he died, 64, 68 AD is part of the thinking. But how old he was then, we're not sure.
Here's an interesting question. What ramifications would await Saul once he was converted? Wouldn't those who had come with him have wanted to come after him?
Yeah, so the question was, what ramifications for Saul might this have? He's traveling with a cohort of men who presumably are sold on this mission to go and stamp out the church. And actually, we'll see that next week, that's exactly what happened. Whether it was those men or not, Saul suddenly, the persecutor, suddenly became the one who was persecuted. Excellent point. Excellent point. Oh, good question. So the question was, as I study the passage this week, what is it that struck me personally about the character of God? I think that there's a lot of things, and in my prep for the passage each week, that's always where I begin, is saying, God, what do you have for me? What's the lesson for me? And sometimes that's applicable for everyone, and other times that's just a lesson that I take for myself and preach another message. But for this week, it was really that idea of what does it look like to trust God in the midst of this uncertainty. That for me, that was very clarifying. I tried to give some articulation to that in that short devotional I posted on Psalm 78. That the real crux of the matter is, am I trusting God in the midst of all the mess around me? Am I trusting in His power? I can be full of the fear. I can be kind of freaking out like others. But in the midst of that, am I looking to my Savior? Am I looking to Him? And I think that's wonderful that you see that here with Ananias, and we should be encouraged by that.
Here's a question. Was Paul uniquely suited to be the apostle to the Gentiles?
The question was, I don't know if you heard that or not, but was Saul, Chris is saying you heard that, was he uniquely suited? It's another interesting question. Saul, you might think, would have been better suited to be the apostle to the Jewish people. He's the Pharisee of Pharisees. Peter would have made more sense to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He's the working class man, just a common person with a Jewish heritage. It would have made a lot more sense to send Peter out, let him be the apostle to the Gentiles. But we trust that God knows what He's doing. Even in that verse there, I've lost my Bible. What does God say to Ananias? He's my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, but it's interesting as well. He still has a calling to the Jews as well. How are we doing? People still watching and still engaging?
Yeah.
You still watching?
We're getting more questions.
You're eating your lunch and having your coffee. That's good. We'll keep going as long as you're tuned in. We'll keep going. As long as our sound guys don't have an uprising. You doing okay?
Vasil asks a good question. What made Saul listen to Jesus and not reject his words?
What made Saul listen to Jesus and not reject his words? Later, again, I think it's Acts 26, or it's Acts 22, Paul recounts that story, and we get a little bit more dialogue between Jesus and Saul, and Jesus says, it's why are you kicking against the goads? That maybe he finally came to this understanding that of surrender. But again, hey, spiritual lesson, I think God's constantly at work in our lives, that it takes actually the work of God, it takes the grace of God to warm my heart to him, to be able to listen to him. I believe that this was probably a process for Saul, that he was there listening to Stephen's sermon, that the little seeds were being planted, and of course it comes to fruition in this moment as he's on the road to Damascus. The ultimate answer to that is it was the work of God. I think it was the grace of God. We need God's grace even to have faith to cling on to him.
Another question, the name Ananias is used, I believe, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had Ananias and Sapphira. What is the significance, any significance to the name? What do we know what Ananias means?
Dave, do you know what Ananias means?
It's not off the top of my head.
Other than, it's unfortunate to be called, Ananias and Sapphira, of course, wasn't an infamous name. That's kind of like Jesus' disciples. There were more than one named Judas, and you think, man, you feel for that other guy named Judas.
There was also the high priest Ananias.
High priest Ananias,
so there
yeah.
Are three Ananiases. Oh, here it is. Google can tell us.
There you go.
God.
It sounds Greek to me. Ananias
God
sounds Greek
given.
To me. What does it mean?
It means God has given.
God has given. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So the question is, why did Saul choose Damascus? One, of course, I don't have any special insight into why Damascus, but I think what this tells me is that Saul was probably taking this show on the road outside of Jerusalem for a while, and maybe this was his final destination in going to Damascus. And note that in the passage, he goes and gets letters from the high priest in Jerusalem, and he's going to the synagogues in Damascus. This is still a Jewish issue. So remember, God's people, the Jews, were spread throughout the world at this point. That was one of the things that enabled the gospel, enabled the church to spread as quickly as it did. So Damascus, key population center, a key center of population for the Jews. And obviously there were a number of the gospel had already spread there. There were already people who were following Jesus 150 miles away from Jerusalem, maybe in part due to the persecution that Saul began in Jerusalem to drive the church outside of Jerusalem. That's pretty cool.
Here's a question from Penny Kelly. When Saul says in verse 5, "Who are you, Lord?"
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think he's referring to?
Yeah, so Saul, the question was, when Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" What does that mean? What's that mean? Does he already understand Jesus as Lord? And it was interesting. I read a few commentators on that in particular. I think my take would be that Saul did not understand that this was yet a Jesus. Maybe he had some sort of inkling. So when he says, "Who are you, Lord?" This is an example of that word Lord meaning sir. So it wasn't uniquely ascribed to Jesus as Lord meaning Yahweh, Lord meaning God. It was, who are you, sir? And then he says, I'm Jesus. Is that the only interpretation of that? No, but to me that's what makes most sense. You know, I think next week we'll do, we'll put Dave and Tim all up here, and it'll be, you know, ask a pastor. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody saying that that we still have a number of, how many folks are tuned in right now?
116.
116 of you are still listening. That's pretty cool. This is an experiment today. We'll continue to experiment with ways to help us just to interact with each other. Yeah, that is encouraging. I've never done a Bible study with 116 people before. It's making me nervous. So the question was, why did God choose this moment to appear to Saul, and why not earlier? This is the Lord's timing. We would like to rewrite history quite a bit, wouldn't we? I spent 17 and a three quarters of a year of my life without knowing the Lord, and finally before I was 18, heard the gospel and came to Him. You know, Jesus was content to allow Saul to continue to persecute his church for as long as he did. He was content to let that happen. I don't know why. What's that? That was it? Okay. Well, hey. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking around here afterwards. Remember, guys, don't turn this off right away. It'll cut me off, so they'll hear every last word that I have to say here. But this was fun. We'll continue to experiment with things like this. What an encouraging service. I hope that was encouraging for you at home. And I suppose that's it. Bye for now.